Marriage Today presents This Is My Story by Jimmy Evans.
I want to share my story, and I want to share a little bit about how I got saved, but I want to specifically talk about the Holy Spirit and the difference the Holy Spirit made in my life, because it was really the defining moment in me really being able to be where I am today and doing what God has called me to do. I grew up in Amarillo, Texas, and all my life, I grew up there. I did not grow up in a family that was Christian. Now, my parents would have said that they were Christians, but they were not. But they sent us to church, and it was a dead church. And they didn't go, but they sent us. I have two older brothers, Damien and Lucifer. And they, Randy and Mike. But we all had to go to church and absolutely hated the church. In 13 years of being a part of that church, I never heard the name of Jesus. And it was a dead church. And they didn't like kids, and I didn't like them. The Sunday school that I went to was just an uncomfortable little dirty room with adults that didn't like me. And I swore I would never, because at 13 years old, my brothers, Mike first and then Randy, at 13 years old, we didn't have to go back to church if we didn't want to. And so at 13 years old, when Mike turned 13, he didn't go back. When Randy turned 13, he didn't go back, and I was the youngest. So I decided when I'm 13, I ain't going back to church. I can't stand church. And so at 13 years old, I didn't go back to church. And I was so thankful that I never, ever had to go back to church again. Well, I was in seventh grade, and I met a friend of mine. And so one day he walked up to me, and he said, you want to go to Baptist church camp with me? And I said, are you kidding me? There is not a way in the world I am going ever, ever to church again. He said, you want me to tell you the girls that are going to camp? I went 5 years. And I joined his church, I promise. Only because of the girls. All the cute girls went to that camp and that church. So I've devoted myself to that church. Now, I heard about Jesus, and they were Baptist. I'm so thankful for that exposure, because for the first time in my life, I heard the gospel. I didn't respond to it. I didn't receive Christ. I was very immoral, very rebellious growing up, and I had no intention of doing anything spiritual. I was there for all the wrong reasons. And the entire time I was in church, we were doing the wrong things. And I had no conscience. I had absolutely no conscience about it whatsoever. I dated Karen. I started dating my wife when we were sophomores in high school. We went to school together. And she was pure-hearted. I was not. And she was going to Bible studies and things like that as we were in high school. I was not. I was very bad. Now, I went to church every now and then, but again, for all the wrong reasons. So when I was in high school, I had a lot of bad friends. And I played football and basketball, ran track. I was popular in school and had a lot of friends, and my friends were my problem. And I had the wrong friends. And Karen and I, we loved each other. And so when we were 19 years old, I graduated early from high school to the delight of my teachers, and went to college. And in my second year of college, Karen and I were going to get married. And we married May the 11th of 1973. But a week before we got married, Karen told me that she wouldn't marry me because of how immoral I was. And I had, at my bachelor party, the night before she told me she wouldn't marry me, I was a good person, so I told my friends I only wanted to get drunk and play poker. And that was how good of a person I was. And to me, that was just being a Boy Scout, you know, not doing any bad stuff. But more than that happened, a lot more than that happened. And the next morning when I woke up, I just didn't have a conscience. I mean, I just didn't have a conscience. I could do anything bad, anything rebellious and immoral, and sit in church the next morning, and I just never felt bad at all. In fact, I just kind of felt good about it, actually. Except for that morning. I woke up the next morning after my bachelor party, and I looked at myself in the mirror, and for the first time, I didn't like the person I was looking at. I felt embarrassed. I felt like I had done something wrong. And again, I had never felt that way before. And I began to think about what the preachers had said that I'd heard. Now, you know, I sat in church and I'd sat in that camp and I'd heard preachers preach about Jesus, but I didn't want to have anything to do with that. But that morning I realized I'd done something wrong, and it had nothing to do with Karen. It just had to do with me and Jesus. And so I prayed a prayer that morning, and I told the Lord, I will follow you for the rest of my life, and I'll never turn back. You're the Lord of my life. And when I said those words, I heard these words. Don't see your friends again. Those are the first words I ever heard the Lord say. I had 10 best friends. They were called the Bud Boats. I don't know why we were called the Bud Boats, but we were. My car was the Bud Boat Mobile, and I was president of the Bud Boats. That was the highest achievement I had in life to that point. We had a baseball team. I was the captain of the baseball team. I had all of our stuff in my trunk. That afternoon, I drove over. All my friends were there. They gathered around my car when I drove up, and they were saying, Evans, wasn't last night great? Wasn't it great? You know, all that stuff. I said, no, it wasn't. It wasn't great. And they said, what are you talking about? And I said, it wasn't great. I said, I didn't like it. And I'm never going to do anything like that again. And they were all like, what? What's wrong with you? What happened to you? And I said, I'm going to serve the Lord for the rest of my life. And I'm not going to do that anymore. And I'm going to drive away from here, and I'm going to go tell Karen what I did. Now, they were terrified at that because all of her girlfriends were friends, and you know what that means. I drove away, and I drove over to Karen's house. I told her what I'd done the night before. She slammed the door in my face and told me she'd never talk to me again and wouldn't marry me. But I told the Lord, when I received the Lord, I said, this is not about Karen. This is about you and me. And if Karen does not marry me and if she has nothing to do with me, I'll serve you for the rest of my life and I'll never turn back. A day or two later, Karen heard about what I'd done in not seeing my friends or, you know, breaking the relationship off with him. And she called me and we talked. And so we went ahead and got married. It was rocky when we got married, to say the least, but I was saved. I received Jesus and I made a lot of changes in my life. And the Lord was very real to me. I mean, I was just a dedicated Christian. I mean, I was going to follow the Lord for the rest of my life. Didn't have any friends except for Jesus and Karen. That was a good thing. I would have never been able to live the Christian life with my friends. Two of my best friends have died of alcoholism since then. They've lived a hard life, many of them. I don't know of one of them that ever got saved. But Karen and I got involved in church. I did not generally like Christians. I thought Christians were very nerdy. And I didn't like them. I was uncomfortable being around Christians. Since then, I've changed my mind. Christians are the best friends in the whole world. They're the neatest people in the whole world. You trust Christians more than anybody else in my experience. Not saying that all of them are good, but I'll tell you what, Christians are wonderful people. But I had judged Christians. And again, I thought I was cool and my friends and I were popular and all that kind of stuff. And so I judged Christians. So we started going to church and we became a part of church, but you know, again, I was just uncomfortable being around Christians because I cussed horribly before I got saved and was very immoral and all that stuff. I didn't know how to be good. I didn't know. One of the first times we ever went to Sunday school, I just started going to church and the Sunday school leader asked me to pray. Well, I had never prayed in my entire life. And I thought, I'll cuss right in the middle of my prayer. You know, I just didn't trust myself in church around Christian people. But I was dedicated to living the Christian life. And so we got involved in church and started serving in church. But I want to say something was missing. Something was missing. And let me say again, I'm so glad I was saved and knew Jesus. I felt a little trapped because I didn't feel that I was able to live the Christian life. I just couldn't do the do's and not do the don'ts. I struggled every day. Every day I woke up wanting to do these things and not wanting to do those things. And I wasn't living the way I lived before, but I wasn't living the way I knew a Christian ought to live. I didn't understand the Bible. I had a hard time praying. I had a hard time with everything. And really after I got saved, they didn't give me a whole lot of instruction except just, you know, come to church and give and do this and this. But I kind of felt a little bit trapped. And one day I read a scripture. It was in Acts 1 where I asked you to turn there. And this was a scripture. It said, begin in verse 4, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise from the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Well, I told you that when I got saved, when I started going to that Baptist church, my friend's Baptist church, I had never heard the name of Jesus in my life. And when I went to his church and the preacher preached, I'm eternally grateful to the Baptist for preaching the gospel to me. When I heard Jesus, I just couldn't believe it. They talked about salvation. They talked about grace. I thought, that is so wonderful. But after being saved, I had never heard of the Holy Spirit in my entire life. No one had ever said one syllable to me about the Holy Spirit. I'd never heard a sermon on it. I'd never heard anybody. And when I got saved, no one ever told me that I needed the power of the Holy Spirit. And I read that scripture one day on my own about you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I didn't know any different. So I just went to my Sunday school class that Sunday. It was a couple Sunday school class. And so there was always an opportunity for questions and answers. And during the question and answer time, I raised my hand and the teacher said, yeah, Jimmy, what's your question? And I said, I want to know about being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Now, I was just so innocent. God loved me. I was just so innocent. I didn't know you weren't supposed to say that. He turned flush red, turned his head away from me, and changed the subject. And I was just sitting there, and I thought, well, maybe I cussed. You know, I mean, I could. Hadn't been that long since I did. Maybe I cussed. Maybe I said something wrong. Maybe I got something on my face. What just happened? I mean, I was just dumbfounded. And when the class was over, I walked out and I turned to Karen and I said, Did I cuss? Did I say something wrong? She said, Jimmy, I don't know what you said wrong. And I was just dumbfounded. And this girl from the class, one of the other ladies in the class, pulled Karen aside, and she said, this church does not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. That's what just happened in there. She said, but we're baptized in the Holy Spirit and we speak in tongues. So her and her husband, we began to befriend them. They befriended us, and they began to talk to us about what they had experienced in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They began to take us to this camp called Camp Farthest Out. It was a bunch of crazy, Spirit-filled Methodists. And wonderful people. And for the first time, we began to hear about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and things like that. And so, but let me say this. I didn't want something fake. I wanted it if it was real, but I didn't want something fake. And so I was real cautious in that regard. And so we began to go to different meetings and do different things and read everything we could read about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and things like that. And one night we went to a Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. And for many of you may not be familiar with that, that was really the precursor of the Holy Spirit movement in the church. Before the Holy Spirit was talked about really widely in the church, the Full Gospel Businessmen, they really carried that message, Demas Shakarian and those people. So we went to a meeting one night at a hotel, and a pastor was there. It was a Baptist pastor who had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it was helpful for me to hear the testimony of a fellow Baptist. And he shared his testimony about how he had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues, and all of that. And so his name was Howard Knatzer from Dallas, Texas. And so at the end of the meeting, they said, if you're interested in receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then come back here and we'll pray for you. So Karen and I went back there and they prayed for us. They laid their hands on us and they prayed for us. And they were kind of trying to lead us to speak in tongues, but I was uncomfortable with that. And so I just kind of sat there. I didn't do anything, didn't say anything. But they prayed for us, and they're real sweet people. And so at the end of that experience, we went home. And I just was, you know, thankful to have been there. I didn't feel anything real powerful happen while I was there. But when we got home, Karen went to bed, and I stayed in the living room. And I said this to the Lord. Lord, I don't want you to think that you're not enough for me, because you're enough for me. But I want to live the rest of my life for you, and I want everything you've got. And at that moment, it was like somebody took a 55-gallon hot barrel of oil and turned it over the top of my head. And I felt heat from my head to my toes just come down my body. And I could just sense the presence of God and the power of God in my life like I'd never before. And I began to speak in tongues. It was very crude. It was like caveman talk. I was glad I was alone because it was not a fluent kind of a speaking in tongues. And I've spoken in tongues now for 36 years. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit for the last 36 years or so. And I can just tell you that he's transformed my life. And I want to bring a little teaching to you, then I'm going to end my story here in just a few minutes. And I'm going to pray for any of you that want to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But let me say this. The Holy Spirit is God. He's not something. He's someone. He's equal with God the Father and God the Son. In Genesis 1:2, it says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." The Holy Spirit is God. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus was standing in the Jordan River. The Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove, and the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." That's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all in one scene in the Bible. That's our God, the Trinity, three in one. The Holy Spirit is not just impersonal, an impersonal force. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, God himself. Whenever you're born of the Spirit, whenever you're saved, you're born of the Spirit. This is John chapter 3. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Some people ask the question, well, doesn't every believer have the Spirit? And the answer is absolutely. When I was born again, I was born of the Spirit. But let me give you the difference between being saved and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Being saved is about Jesus. It's not about the Holy Spirit. You can be saved, never hear of the Holy Spirit, just like me and others I'm going to read about in just a minute in the Bible. But being saved is about Jesus. It's about making him the Lord of our lives. It's about believing that his death saved us from our sins. That's what being saved is about. When you're saved, it's like drinking a glass of water that revives your spirit. It makes it born again. Adam and Eve, God breathed life into Adam's nostrils, and he had a living spirit. When they sinned, their spirit died. And they have passed that curse on to every generation since them, including us. Every person is born with a dead spirit. And when you're born again, it means the Spirit of God comes back into your spirit and you're born again. The difference between being baptized in the Holy Spirit and salvation, salvation is like drinking a glass of water of the Spirit that revives your spirit. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit is like diving in the river where the water came from and being fully immersed in that power. Here's the third thing I want to tell you. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit is a separate and subsequent experience to salvation. It's separate. It could be 1 minute after you get saved, 10 minutes after you get saved, 10 days, 10 years, but it's a separate experience to salvation. Again, you can be saved and never hear of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you an example. The disciples were saved in Acts chapter 1. Those were saved disciples. They'd been with Jesus for 3 years. They'd walked with the resurrected Jesus for 40 days in Acts 1 when Jesus said those words we just read. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until you're filled with power from on high." Okay, so there's another scripture here. This is Acts chapter 8. Listen to the story of the Samaritans who were saved and then got baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is verse 12. "But when they believed Philip, as he preached things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. And when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he has yet fallen on none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit." Being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus means being water baptized, which is an essential thing to do. Remember what Jesus said. John baptized you with water, but you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. These are two separate experiences. This is the Ephesians in Acts chapter 19. It happened when Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much heard as there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who had come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And so here are two experiences in the Bible, actually three, where people got born again and no one told them about the Holy Spirit. Well, again, I am so thankful for my Baptist heritage and hearing the gospel and the way those precious people loved me. But I never heard of the Holy Spirit, ever heard of the Holy Spirit. And I want to say I felt trapped. And the reason I felt trapped, because I was trapped. Let me tell you the fourth truth about the Holy Spirit. It is impossible to fulfill God's will for our lives without the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's impossible. You can't do it. If you feel powerless in the Christian life, it's because you are. We are powerless to live for God without the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ lived under the power of the Holy Spirit his entire ministry. Even Jesus didn't try to do it without the Holy Spirit. The men, his disciples, had lived with him intimately for 3 years. And he said, you don't leave Jerusalem until you've received power from the Holy Spirit. Then you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. He knew they needed the Holy Spirit. When the Apostle Paul went and preached the gospel, he realized that certain people were going out and making disciples and preaching the gospel and weren't telling people about the Holy Spirit. So when he shows up on the scene, he begins to ask them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, we haven't heard whether there was a Holy Spirit or not. And so he made it right and he laid his hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues and prophesy. Well, let me finish my testimony for just a minute. Before I received the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, I was born again. I had made changes in my life and Jesus was real to me, but I did not have power to live the Christian life. I could not do the do's and not do the don'ts. I didn't understand the Bible. I had a very hard struggle every time I read the Bible to understand it. I struggled in prayer. My personality was not changing the way that I wanted it to. Karen and I were on the brink of divorce. As Christians going to church every Sunday, we were on the brink of divorce. But here's what happened after I received the Holy Spirit. The first thing that happened was that I knew God. I knew God. I opened my Bible the morning after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I knew Paul. I knew Peter. I knew those people. And you say, how did you know them? Because the Holy Spirit in me is the one who created them in their mother's womb. I knew Jesus. I didn't know about Jesus. I knew Jesus. And my prayer life was totally different. When I read the Bible, John 16 says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead you into all truth. He wrote the Bible. He inspired every person who wrote the Bible. When you're reading the Bible under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you will never be led into error. You will always be able to understand what the Bible has to say. I opened the Bible the next morning, it was a totally different book to me. For the first day ever, that night when I went to bed, I did the dids and didn't do the don'ts. For the first time ever, I felt like I had the power to do the things I wanted to do and not do the things I didn't want to do. I wasn't perfect by any means, but my life was completely changed. But here's the other thing that happened in my life. My personality began to radically change. Galatians chapter 5 says the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let me just tell you something. The Holy Spirit is the oil that our emotions were designed to run on in our engine. Without the Holy Spirit, we all overheat very quickly and our personalities aren't that good. Under the power of the Holy Spirit, it's amazing what you can go through and still act like Jesus. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, my personality began to change. I began to be kinder, sweeter, more patient, more loving, everything. And it had a dramatic impact on our marriage and everything in my life. Once we're saved, we're on our way to heaven. That's good news. Our eternity has been changed. Our sins have been forgiven. But we are not prepared to live a victorious life until we have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And you say, do I have to speak in tongues to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? No, but you get to. It's a private prayer language that gives you intimacy with God. The Apostle Paul said, when I speak in tongues, my mind is unfruitful, but my spirit prays. And in the spirit, I speak mysteries. He said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. You don't have to speak in tongues to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But it's a prayer language, a language of intimacy between you and the Lord. It also gives you to pray beyond your natural understanding. If you have a relative right now in another state that is suffering a heart attack, you could pray for them in the spirit, not even knowing what they're going through. It is another enablement spiritually in our lives that gives us the ability to live for God as we desire. Romans 8 says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness with groanings too deep for words to utter. We're weak in our prayers. We're weak in every way. Let me tell you some news here today, and then I'll tell you the good news. The news is none of us have the ability to live for God. We do not, even as saved people. You don't have the ability not to do those things that you don't want to do or to do the things you want to do. You don't have the ability to understand the Bible. You don't have the ability to know God in the realm of the Spirit. You don't have the ability to withstand evil. You don't have the ability to live for God and to fulfill His will for your life. But here's the good news. You have the ability by the power of the Holy Spirit. God never expects you to do it on your own. He didn't expect the disciples to do it on their own. All He expected them to do was receive the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, how do I receive the Holy Spirit? Here's the good news. He's a free gift. When we need Him the most, we deserve Him the least. I was a mess when the Holy Spirit came into my life. See, some people think that God wants us to clean our act up and then come to Him. He's the only one that can clean our act up. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't have a chance of getting our act cleaned up. So he's a spirit of grace. Regardless of what you've done or where you've been or how badly you've blown it, He doesn't condemn you. He loves you. And He wants to come into your life and give you the power to live for Him, the power to change, the power to do the things that you want to do. But it only comes through Him. That's why Jesus commanded the disciples to wait until they receive power from on high. Would you bow your heads with me this morning and let me pray for you? There may be some of you here this morning and you kind of relate to the first part of my testimony when I talked about not being saved. It may be that you're in church, you're with a family member or a friend, or maybe you come on your own, but you've never responded to the gospel message and made Jesus the Lord of your life. Maybe you have some friendships to break off. I want to encourage you this morning to do that. It's the best thing that you'll do. It'll change your life, but it will require some difficult decisions, but it's the best thing that ever happened to me. That's my testimony. But I also want to talk to some of you this morning that you're a dedicated believer. There's no question that you're a Christian. You know that you made a commitment to Christ and invited Him into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. But you don't feel like you have the power to live for God. And it might be that maybe at some point you look back and say, yeah, Jimmy, I really believe I received the Holy Spirit at one point, but I have not been depending on Him. Well, this is a reminder this morning, and you can just ask the Holy Spirit to renew you in His presence. But I really believe that there are some of you here this morning, you've never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You've never received it. Now, I'm going to pray for you here in just a minute, but I'm going to urge you when you go home today or tomorrow morning or whatever to continue this experience and to continue it for the rest of your life of asking the Holy Spirit to fill you up and giving Him the opportunity to give you a new prayer language that you can pray with. He's not going to force it on you. It's something that you do by faith like everything else as He begins to work inside of you. Holy Spirit, precious gift from God. You are God, and you're here with us this morning. And you do not condemn us for our failures. You do not condemn us for our sins or our weakness. You were created from the very beginning to be inside of us and to give us the power to know God, the power to love God, and the power to live this life for God. And we receive you this morning as an act of faith and as a gift of grace. We know we don't have to deserve you this morning. All we have to do is receive you as a gift. And this morning, Lord, we receive you as a gift. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit this morning, as everybody has your head bowed, your eyes closed, would you just lift your hands up to the Lord with me and just say, Lord, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit this morning? Just lift your hands up to the Lord. Just as a sign of faith, And Holy Spirit, we receive you. We receive your power. We receive your love. And we pray that you would give us the power to change, the power to know God, the power to love others, and the power to live the Christian life the way that we should. And for the rest of our lives, we will be dependent upon you. For the rest of our lives, we understand it's going to take you to give us the power to live as we should. Thank you this morning. We receive you and we believe now that we are full of you. And I thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
This concludes session one. Please continue with The Cost of Oil, the next teaching in this series.